Welcome to Spectrum from China America Hit Radio. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Warren. It's time for another Spectrum. We have a familiar face and a new face that we're going to introduce this time. We're going to be talking about an interesting subject that goes in a variety of different directions, and no matter what you may have heard about feng shui, we're going to kind of clear things up a little bit for you. But first, we have one of our old friends, and of course, someone from whom many of you have learned a few phrases and words in Mandarin over the years, Helen Liu. Helen, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again as well. So tell us a little bit about Wall Street Chinese. What have you been up to recently?
We've been opening Chinese for Children program is going very well. We provide Chinese classes to a lot of schools, and we also run a lot of experimental Mandarin teaching programs, you know, on facility. So it's going up very well. And in the meantime, we add this feng shui training and consulting business into our platform. So it's going very well.
How did that idea come about, doing the feng shui seminars?
Well, we've been promoting feng shui as a cultural and art aspect, you know, from in the past. But then when I meet with Dr. Li, just through a mutual friend, and then he told me how much feng shui can be applied beyond home, you know, and then you can apply for, you know, on your personal, on your relationship, on your business, on your office. It just brought up my mind. And then I say, well, if this can help, you know, almost everyone, and then even business people, let's do that, because that's my dream of bridge the East and West and the business culture.
So you got Dr. Li and you brought him in here. Welcome to our program. Welcome to our studio in China America Radio.
Thank you, Steve.
Tell us about your background, your family. Where did you grow up? Just a little bit about your early life, first of all, a little background.
Oh, yeah, sure. I am from Nanjing in China. My mom is a real estate broker in China, and I learned feng shui mostly from my family and primarily from my mom. You know, she went out to different houses for her clients. She take a look at, study the feng shui stuff, and he do the feng shui consulting for her client, and I learned from her. And after I came to U.S. in 2004, I gradually gathered the knowledge of feng shui and developed a little bit more new theory of feng shui. And also I tried to connect feng shui with astrology, physiognomy, palm reading, all kinds of stuff all together, create a new set of theories so that this type of ancient Chinese knowledge can be applied to not only home, but also the business and individuals and all kinds of stuff.
When you were growing up in Nanjing, what were your interests? Did you think you would be heading this direction in your career, and what did you study in school?
Yeah, I was a physics major, so I did physics in my undergraduate, and I'm also a physics PhD in Cornell University.
So there is some real science to the science. I mean, there's the application of the physical world. Somebody explained to me a long time ago when people were starting to get interested in feng shui is, how could they simplify it? And they said, well, you know how when you're sitting in your living room and there's a picture on the wall and it's crooked, you're compelled to get up and go over and fix it, that things actually have an effect on you enough that they can make you move. Now, that's a very simple example. Beyond that, how did you get from the real world of physics and physical science into the real world of using feng shui in a practical manner?
Actually, I would say, firstly, the basis of feng shui is just physics and common sense. So if, let's say, if the feng shui contradicts any feng shui rules that contradict with physics principles, then there is something wrong. Because usually people think of feng shui as something more like some people think of it as a cultural superstition kinds of stuff. But based on my own study, like I read all kinds of scripts about feng shui stuff. Based on my own study, I realized that actually physics, lots of feng shui principles are based on physics principles. So it's not something like you have to believe it to make it exist. It's like a gravity force. You don't have to believe it for it to exist. It's just there. So it's kind of universal and material, the effect of feng shui.
I have been with some of my friends from Asian countries that have come to New York that were looking for real estate, looking for properties. And they meet with an American real estate agent, and they ask a whole different set of questions than, let's say, an American buyer would buy, about which way does the window face, where can I put the bed, where's the cooking happen. Give us a little background on practical feng shui and how it applies to today's world, particularly here in the Western world.
Let's say you would like to buy a house. Okay, what do feng shui consultants do? Like, what do I do if someone asks me, well, which direction should the house be facing, whether the kitchen or the living room or bedroom are in the right position? What do I do? Okay, firstly, I would study the environment, exterior environment, to make sure there's no negative feng shui features from the outside. Let's say if there is a sharp edge formed by a building right next to your building, you know, the sharp edge is directly aligned, but that's a negative feature. We have to fix that. The first step, check the exterior. Then there are many feng shui formulas. So in feng shui, there are two basic analytical tools. One is called form analysis. The second is called formula analysis. So there are many feng shui formulas that can be used to calculate which direction inside the house is auspicious, which is inauspicious. Then you would like to see that, for example, your bedroom and your living room, where you spend most time at, to be in the auspicious position, and the bathroom to be in the inauspicious position. And there are also feng shui formulas to help you to calculate which direction or which orientation of the house is auspicious or inauspicious. So we use this formula to calculate.
Is it complicated for people to figure out, or is it simple?
If you go to my workshop, I am very confident that you will be able to get it. It's actually not complicated, but I would say the fundamental principle, if you would like to understand why this formula are like this, well, this is a little hard. But if I just teach you how to do it, this is not hard.
If you had to spend 5 or 10 minutes, and that's all you had with a group of Americans, and you could give them one rule to walk away with, change or to correct or to look at or to observe in their home to make it a better place, what would that one or two simple rules be?
There's no one simple rule to do that, because feng shui involves lots of measurements and calculations. But if I am going to give a general rule, like to improve, because feng shui is used to mostly improve the health, the support, the relationship, or wealth, right? If I'm going to give a simple rule that people can do to make their feng shui better in the house, I would say can or she can consider placing a mini waterfall or a watering plant with the round shaped leaves in front of their door. Not in front, it's inside the door, but you know, right inside the door. And this usually is helpful to the wells part.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
right. But that's very simple.
That's really too simple. But again, I need to make the measurements and the calculations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let's fast forward to the fact that, of course, Helen has been doing her Wall Street Chinese and with a business approach originally, and now we're bringing feng shui to the business world. How is that different than doing it domestically or at home?
So feng shui, in general, feng shui can be divided into two major categories. So one is home feng shui, as people always know. One is home feng shui. The other one is business feng shui. The first major difference, between home feng shui and business feng shui is. Home feng shui places more emphasis on the health part, and business feng shui places more emphasis on the wealth part. First major difference. Secondly, feng shui, when applying to business, can be used as a strategic planning tool. This is kind of a little different from home feng shui. Is, for example, it can help you to decide when to start initiate a new deal. Whether I should form a partnership with this guy. Should I hire this guy? Like all kinds of this type of questions.
Right.
Yeah. So this is, home feng shui doesn't have that.
When we think about the workplace, particularly in large American cities, we think about tall buildings, little boxes, cubicles, offices, space where people can be a little frustrated at their lack of creative environment. How do you deal with that? How do you put feng shui in? Can you minimize it to just a small space if that's all you have? Or does it have to be part of the big picture? I mean, you can't rotate a skyscraper 90 degrees to face another direction. So how do you do it in a very localized manner?
Building has a building's feng shui. A office has what we call an office feng shui. The cubicle, which is even smaller, has its own feng shui too. So there are three different ways to deal with them. So we use different ways to deal with these three types of feng shui. So if it's a building, it's very complicated. Okay, I will spend a long time to study, very complicated. Office is easier. Cubicle, you don't have much freedom to do it, right? A simple way is, I give you a very simple example. I would say this is, I would even say this is not a rigorous feng shui. But let's say if you would like to have support from your colleague or your senior staff, there's one thing that you might consider first is you can try to adjust your direction when you sit. You can adjust the direction of the desk, adjust the direction of the chair when you do your work. There are 8 directions, right? North, east, anything. But for each person, there are some auspicious directions, some inauspicious directions. In feng shui, they can calculate which is which. And I can make you to adjust your orientation so that you are in your favored orientation when you do your work. That's one thing that I can do.
Anything in using objects, like you mentioned a while ago, plant, water, are there things you can put in your small environment that will enhance your ability to produce?
Some people would suggest that you place a water near your desk. So that would improve your what we call the wealth luck. This doesn't apply to everyone. Because in feng shui, there is what we call 5-element theory. So water is one of the 5 elements. So if water is the favored element for this guy, then yes, yeah, that might help. Place water, some water. If the water is not the favored element for this guy, then this might not be helpful, or it might even have negative features. So
what are the other elements? What are the choices you have?
The other elements are metal, earth, wood, and fire.
I see.
So that's a five element in lots of Chinese astrologies and Chinese metaphysics are based on this 5-element theory.
I can see all of those except possibly fire in the office as being beneficial. Certainly, people have things made out of wood and stone and such.
Actually, I can tell you that the light belongs to fire element.
That's true. Okay, so lights and lamps and does belong to that. Listen, this is an exciting subject. We can talk about it again. I know you have some seminars that are going to be ongoing, Helen. If people want more information about Dr. Li, about the upcoming feng shui seminars you're going to be having, your website for them again is a good place to go?
Yeah, wallstreetchinese.net, and then you can search business feng shui on the business section. We have training and we have consulting. So for training, we have training for different audience, like for small business owners, for for professionals, for people who do specific profession, like if they are in the sales, they can learn all of different perspective of the feng shui and then gain benefit from it. And then furthermore, if they want Dr. Li to analyze their business feng shui, and we can always provide service to them too.
So Dr. Li, before you go, and I hope we have a chance to meet with you again, maybe in a month or two, see how this is working out. Any advice for our studio here in at China America Radio? I mean, it's pretty eclectic.
Wow. again, I have to say, if I don't do any measurements, I am kind of conservative of providing any feng shui suggestions. But one thing I can suggest is maybe you can consider making the light a little bit, you know, make it a little bit lighter.
A little brighter.
So you know, in feng shui, the light, the water, the airflow are three important aspects in feng shui. So usually, if we have sunlight, that's great. If we don't have sunlight, then make it brighter. Then so that's
I don't know. I guess I've always liked quiet, not so bright light. You know, maybe I like a small fire. Okay, thank you, Dr. Li, for coming to visit us, and we hope we'll speak with you again soon.
So thanks.
Okay, thanks, Alice.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Join us every weekend for Spectrum on China America Hit Radio. If you have some ideas for future topics and guests to be featured on Spectrum, we'd appreciate your suggestions. Email us at news@ChinaAmericaHitRadio.com. Then listen every Sunday for Spectrum at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, exclusively on China America Hit Radio.